What's good, everybody? Welcome back to The Syndicate. This is episode 7, and I'm actually very excited to have this guest on today. Me and him have been mutuals and friends on Twitter for, I want to say, the past almost year. Very similar mentality, and I think it's going to be an incredible conversation, and I have Pontiflex with me. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So we just talked a little bit before I pressed the record button, and it sounds like you got some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah.
So the whole point of this podcast, and I tell everyone, the whole point is to talk about things that we're not going to usually talk about. Now, I know there's somebody, I remember reading a blog post about you. What I really want to talk about is the stuff that you don't get to talk about, right? Like the stuff that you're having fun with, the stuff that, you know, you're working on that's really cool, that's going to be really interesting. And then also stuff like mindset, business, very, you know, general advice for a lot of the listeners out here. So welcome to the podcast, my friend. It is incredible to have you on. So I want to talk a little bit because I remember reading an article about you and I forget who wrote it, but you have a very interesting story. So for anyone who doesn't know who are you and what do you do?
Sure. So right now I run a demand generation marketing agency of which, you know, if anyone is familiar with Mad Men, I would say that our Lucky Strike account, like the whale in the portfolio, is a enterprise SaaS startup out of San Francisco. And it's been like great working with them because they give you a lot of perks. As a, like part of that is I actually get equity. I have like a small percentage that I get in the event of an IPO. I don't think that I'll stick around that long. Like, I don't think I'll be around for 4 years. But they take care of me. They're really good. That's the main thing. And then I have a couple of other side things. One of them being an online e-commerce store, which I run with two guys off of Money Twitter. And then the last thing is this fund that we're starting to explore and kind of put together. So that's what I would say kind of defines the business aspect of me. In terms of who I am, I would say that probably a large element that has kind of defined and written who I am in my early 20s is I actually moved out to Vancouver to become an actor, which not a lot of people know. And that's how I kind of came out here and I was pursuing that for some time. So that's probably an interesting avenue to kind of go down. But besides that, yeah, I mean, I like to post aesthetics. I like expensive suits, expensive women.
Best things in
that's
life.
About it. Yeah,
best
exactly.
Life, my friend. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you about, man. Because you were probably one of the biggest proponents that I know and that I see on Twitter. I know you have you've had a steady girlfriend for a while, and everyone who comments on your stuff is like, "This guy's doing it right. This guy's doing it right. This guy's doing it right." And it's very interesting because it goes against the grain of the usual mentality that a lot of us definitely do have, which is the more the better, the more the merrier. Yeah. And a very kind of spray and pray approach that a lot of people do. So, you know, in terms of everything you're doing, I mean, what do you like the best? Like, what do you like? Do you still act? Are you still having fun with that or no?
No, I left that a little while ago. Actually, I'm going to like the my buddies put together a feature film that they funded on credit cards like 2 years ago, and the premiere's in a couple of weeks, so I'll go to that. But it's super indie, super under the radar. I kind of left the world. It's like acting is a ton of fun, especially you know, I know guys talk about flow state. Like when you're acting in flow, it's got to be some of the most fun. Like I've actually tuned out before, and you look up after a 10, 15 minute scene, you don't know what you said, you don't know what happened. And you're able to kind of move people emotionally. I'll say I'm confident that I can hold myself in just about any room on any stage and comfortably talk to any size audience. Yep. You know, I'm looking at BC Place right now, which is, I don't know, I guess similar to what crypto.com, it used to be Staples Center, but crypto.com center now. I could address an audience in any spot and just be comfortable with it. In regards to, you know, what do I like to do the most right now? To be honest, like I'm a very obsessive person. I actually have like a little bit of OCD tendencies in terms of checking doors and stuff like that. But if I'm focused on something, that's largely the main thing that I'm focused on. For a long time, also, Canada was fucking shut down. You couldn't do anything here. And I didn't actually always have a passport, like a vaccine passport to go around and do stuff. So for the most part, it's really just been focusing on business for the last 2 years or so. And that is a large thing, although I suspect that this summer will be a little bit more fun. And I'll probably end up, I think my girl and I are going to go to Europe at the end of, August. Yep.
Got some great
in terms of like, I'm sure you do. And so I'll hear all about them in terms of like, what are my interests? I like business. I like meeting up with buddies. I think Brute once said like, you know, there's no reason to hang out with a guy unless you're talking business. And I don't necessarily always agree with that, but I certainly prefer that. I wouldn't say I'm a clicky guy. I'll welcome anyone in and meet with just about anyone. As a matter of fact, if I'm stuck with you in an elevator, even just for a couple floors up or down, guaranteed, you know, I'll start chatting you up. And that's definitely my strong suit, is just talking to people. But I like to kind of keep my my circle pretty tight and yep. spend time with guys that I'm doing business with. Because like for me, work and life are actually very, very one and the same. What I do defines who I am, and you know, who I am is what I do. So those are big things. In terms of we can get into talking about like girlfriends and dating and stuff like that. I definitely think I have like a different take, but I think maybe a little bit more mature or more advanced. Like that's not to say that I haven't had, you know, phases and whatnot, but yeah, hopefully that answers some of your questions.
How old are you, by the way?
25.
Okay. Oh, so you're a year older than me. I'm 25.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things you said that I really resonate with that you just said. Number one is no one knows about this, and this is a podcast exclusive.
There we go.
But when I was younger, I was recruited to the top acting school in Los Angeles. I didn't go. I was auditioning for films. I was doing stage stuff all over Philadelphia. I was acting my ass off, and I started very young. And I think you and I have the same thing. So I've always been an artist at heart, right? And what I really enjoy about all the things that I do is I get to be creative every day, regardless if I'm working with a client, regardless if it's shit posting on Twitter, whatever it is, I get to be creative. Music, I still play guitar. When I was 21, I was going to go on tour with a rock band. So I've always been a creative. And I think one of the best things that you can do for a young kid, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9, is get them involved with the creative arts. And the reason I say that is because the skills that you develop as a kid, as a child, when I was 9 years old and I had to step on a stage in front of 1,000 people, you're not scared. You're too young to know to be scared. You're absolutely too young to be scared. So what it does is it gets you comfortable. You get comfortable in these situations where normal people are going to overthink and think through it and be so uncomfortable to the fact that they're going to think themselves out of it. With playing guitar and acting and public speaking, my acting ability translated into my ability to be an incredible public speaker, to not really stutter when we speak, to get in front of a room and just be able to black out and you don't know what you said, but you said something good.
Yeah.
They're smiling because they're clapping, they're standing up, they're doing something, and they're reacting positively to the things that you said. You'll see that with most stand-up comedians who bomb. They're just not confident in themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's because they took too long in order to go and develop that ability. Something else you said, which was interesting, is that work and life are one and the same. And I think most of us who are incredibly high performers are absolutely obsessive about everything that we do. Now, the way that I've gotten around that, and I've spoken about it a couple other times, is to create a system, a flywheel or an ecosystem where one thing creates progress in everything else. Twitter creates progress in my business. My business creates progress in Twitter, vice versa, whatever. And obviously, when they do well, my lifestyle does even better.
Yeah.
So you have to be obsessive about, so being obsessive about one thing at a time allows you to be obsessive with everything. And I talk about this a lot because it's literally, I designed my life to be that way. But most people have friends that they're not even able to talk business with. So to be able to link up with guys like you and the people that I've met from Twitter is a blessing, because we sit there and sometimes we don't talk about business, but when we do talk about business, those conversations are worth seven figures.
Yeah, definitely.
And I spoke about this with Kevel the other day on the podcast, but those seats at the table, when you're a bunch of like-minded individuals, like-minded guys around all sitting at a table in a room, either smoking cigarettes or cigars, or it's 5 a.m. and you guys are just got back from the club, those conversations are worth their weight in gold. And when you design your life in a way where you're able to create an ecosystem where your friends help you in your business and they support you and everything is a supportive system, you create a positive feedback loop. And the more that you create positive feedback loops, the better your life goes. So I think it's very interesting. It's like, you know, maybe not talk about business all the time, but your friends are people that are going to be loyal in your corner. If somebody comes and tries to talk to your girl or tries to put their hand on your girl at the nightclub or when you're out at the bar, your boy's going to come up and have some words with them. So I think it's a very interesting concept. And I think more people need to design their lives or their lives and be friends with people who are going to be everything, right? People that tick every box. And I was speaking with my one really good friend of the past 7 years last night. And when you are the type of person that ticks every box, there's no time. We don't have time to waste in our lives, right? We don't have a single second. So spending time around people that you don't spiritually connect with, right? Because if we're all guys, we're trained to fight and we're all the same mentality, there's a spiritual connection there, right? If you're hanging around people that you have a spiritual incongruence with, you're fucking wasting your time. And I think a lot of life is, and you're not going to find those people in your hometown. You're not going to find them in, you know, Little Rock, Arkansas, some random city, or Indianapolis. Yeah. You're not going to find them in the same city, but you are going to find them in places online where these types of people with similar mentalities congregate and we all meet and we talk and we exchange ideas. And what we do is we create a forum of highly intelligent people who all think alike, and it's a giant echo chamber that makes us all more successful.
Yeah, absolutely. You end up getting exposed to a broad array of different stuff. So my best friend, closest thing I have to a brother, he actually lives down the street. Shout out to him, Mundy Princeps on Twitter. I always had friends growing up, like good buddies and best friends and stuff like that, but they were never like my people. When I went off to, I've been to many universities, I've dropped out many times. I could never make it work. My grades are great. It's mind numbingly boring for me. At university, never really found my people. When I moved out to Vancouver, started kind of clicking with actors. Not all of them are my people, but some of them were. And you kind of like, I ended up casting a very wide net. It sounds kind of shitty, but it was almost a bit like a sales funnel where you cast a wide net, you make friends with a ton of people, and then slowly you just start kind of whittling it back. Yep. And now I'm at a point where I'll let anyone, you know, come out for like a night or two, but I probably won't keep them in the circle if they're not, you know, really, really brilliant or smart or interesting, or have, you know, great stuff to say, because it just makes life a lot more interesting. And then speaking of that, you know, with those people like-minded, you don't necessarily want to have a total echo chamber that drowns out external thought, because that I find can actually limit a lot of life if you have it all with the same, you know, political takes or perspective on the world. But you definitely want kind of some coherence and some kind of tribalism within that. I definitely think that, you know, go out, meet people, and then you need to be a little bit more intentional about building your tribe.
I absolutely agree. You need to be incredibly selective about the people that you're spending your time with. Yeah. And I'm very much the same way. You know, I'll see who someone is, and I don't know exactly how I do it. This is one of these things that I do that I'm not exactly sure how I do it. I haven't really sat and analyzed it, but I start asking a bunch of questions, and immediately I can get a read on someone just from being in sales for the amount of time that I've been in sales and the things that I've done and the places I've been. I take a look at it and I ask them certain questions. And what it allows me to do is I put that into my mental model, whatever is created in my head. And I sit there and I'm like, okay, well, who is this person? What do they resonate with? Are they operating on the same frequency that I am? And they might be a cool person to have, but if it's just not a good fit, it's not a good fit, right? And you have to be, and I think for the listeners, I would say do what you do and cast a wide net, but only let people in if they vibrate or resonate with you as a man. And it's like, I always ask it, and I talk to my friend about this all the time. It's to accept someone into a group, especially in some of the certain groups that I'm involved in and that you're involved in, and those circles and those people, you need to be an incredibly high quality man. Who are you as a man? And it doesn't matter what your financial situation is. A lot of people think, if you have money, you're going to be, no, that's not the case whatsoever. That's absolutely not the case. What is the case is if you get in a fight, is that guy going to follow up and ask questions later? Are they going to be in your corner? Are they going to be a supportive friend, right? What kind of man are they? Are they ambitious? Yeah. Are they trying to make things happen? Are they a good person? Not are they worth X amount of million or how much money is it? That doesn't fucking matter. Who are they and how do they operate? Because if they operate in the same way that you do, they're probably going to be successful at a later point in time. And that's somebody that you want on your team.
I agree.
And what I'm getting at here for the listeners, you have to, if you guys are, say, stuck in your hometown or you're stuck in a certain place, and no one's ever really stuck because life is just determined by the decisions that you make. And every decision that you make creates another path for you. And each path that you can potentially walk has the same exact amount of meaning. That was pretty profound. If you guys want to listen back, just go listen back and try to understand that idea. But meet as many people as possible, but filter hard and filter fast. It's the same thing with girls. If you meet a girl, Ricardo, one of my best friends, Ricardo, obviously we all know him on Twitter. He always says, filter hard and filter fast. Filter hard, filter fast, filter hard, filter fast. And what I learned, and I never thought about it in the way that he does it, but it makes a lot of sense. It applies to girls, it applies to business, it applies to friends. If you get a bad vibe from somebody, do not fuck with them. If you get a bad vibe from a girl, or you think she's going to be an energy vampire, kick her to the curb. Yep. That applies for every single aspect in life. And once you're able to do that, you're able to develop higher quality relationships with the people because they are higher quality people. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, absolutely. In regards to girls, I think that's like a kind of a good natural point to pivot to after we speak about, you know, brotherhood and tribalism. I would say, like to the audience, to you, to whomever, like do whatever makes you happy and do what you need to be doing at that time. I actually got a buddy right now who, he is not a guy that does well with monogamy, just isn't wired that way. Mm-hmm. Personally, I've never really been like, you know, I've dated multiple girls at the same time and I use the term date loosely, but it's just never really my thing. One, I don't like in terms of priorities and energy and stuff, like work for me was always the number one thing. When it was acting, it was that. And then, like having a good group of guys to hang out with, but I was never really able to like manage having like more than one or two in the picture at a time. And then for me, at some point, I just kind of didn't really want to like always be dating and going around and stuff. Like I have a very clear vision on what I want. And that's like, you know, billions of dollars. I want a wife that's able to help support that empire that I'm building. And so it's very intentional. When I ended up meeting, I actually met my girlfriend on Hinge. We like matched. A lot of guys will probably give me shit about that. That's fine by me. I don't care. Touchdown's a touchdown, home run's a home run. And so, you know, right away, I just knew like, oh, this one's going to be really different. She was like an absolute rocket. She was in law school, or she was going into law school at the time. And you know, I would say that while we did have chemistry on our first date, there was like, it wasn't as smooth as other dates have been.
I see.
And so I'll also say, like, the grass is greenest where you water it, right? Like, that I'm a big believer in that. And like, by no means do I have like the perfect relationship. I'm probably a piece of work to date. I'm a piece of work to sometimes be friends with. Pretty confrontational guy. Very, you know, I like conflict and I'm a stubborn individual, but she's a really good complement to that. We're able to kind of work through stuff, and she's very patient and forgiving with my attitude a lot of the times. But, you know, for a lot of guys, you got to figure out, like, if you are a guy that likes to date around and you like having a lot of girlfriends, and then you should do that, because that's who you are. And that's going to, like, you don't want to be the guy that is with this girl who, you know, hopefully she's great, you found a great girl, but you're still, you know, chomping at the bit to go out and have your freedom. At the same time, I would just say to a lot of guys, if you don't feel like that's you, you should probably just focus on finding a great woman to spend your time with, however long that ends up going. Yeah.
Couple things you said.
Sure.
Some points. Now, I will tell everyone this. Now, you said you had a phase where you dated a bunch of girls, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Every guy who is a high performer, or regardless of what they're doing, same thing as business, right? And I say this all the time when my friends ask me for girl advice. You have to know what you don't like so that you know what you do like. And the only way to know what you don't like is by creating reference experience, by going out, meeting as many girls as possible, dating as many girls as possible. You will getting in relationships, toxic relationships, good relationships, whatever, bad, neutral. Some people you are just absolutely not compatible with. And you may think you are, but you have to really know what you want. And a lot of guys, especially young guys, they settle down with the girl that they were with in college. They settle down with the girl who was in high school, that girl, that five they met at the bar, right? In their hometown, or that's what Mark always says, hugging their hometown hog, right? But you have to know what you do like, right? Like, I've dated a fuck ton of girls. I've dated and been with a shit ton of girls. And I'm not ashamed to say that whatsoever. And it allows you, like, and it's like Andrew Tate says, when you date a bunch of girls, you figure out, like, every 20 to 30 of them, you find a good one, or you find one you like. Mm-hmm. That is an absolute truth. But the only way that you get the really high quality women that you really like is by being the guy that can get them in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely agree with that.
So being a high quality man, right? A woman, especially, let's take an example. Let's say we take a 9 or a 10, right? Who's got blue check marks on Instagram, hitting her up all the time. Attention, attention, attention. You have to be the type of guy that knows how to handle those types of girls. A guy with zero experience with women is not getting those girls. Absolutely not. I will say that time and time again. Because they don't want a guy who is inexperienced with women. They want a guy who knows how to handle and knows how to be with that type of woman, right? And the only way you learn how, no course is going to teach you this. Nothing is going to teach you this but experience, right? The girls that I date now or see, or they know that I'm the type of guy who has been with beautiful women before. I think Tristan Tate said this as well. You have to be the type of guy who knows how to handle and knows how to be with beautiful women. They're going to get a shit ton of attention. They're going to get Instagram DMs. And it's all about managing the expectation. And it's all about managing and knowing what you want and managing the expectation and being the guy that is perfect for them. Because if you are a high quality guy, you're making, let's say you're making 300 grand a year, you're 6 foot whatever, you're in shape, you're all the things, charismatic, funny, all the things that us guys need to do in order to reach that level of getting girls.
Yeah.
Especially if we're not athletes or, like, you know, getting, you know, $10 million to go play for Chelsea or something. You need to take every box. And you have to be the high quality man who is able to tick every single box. But the only way you do that is by being the person who can get there in the first place, which means you have to be in shape. You have to be making money. You have to be dressed well. You have to be charismatic. You have to be funny. You have to be a good storyteller. You have to be, maybe you're creative. And you also have to learn how to deal with beautiful women. So you have to date a bunch of girls, and you're going to learn something from every single relationship that you're in. I have, right? You have. We've learned
about
ourselves, about other people, about psychology, about how to deal with things. Maybe we do something that we regret. Maybe we ghost somebody that we shouldn't have, or maybe we stop seeing somebody. It's, you learn all these things, and through all these years of experience, you become the type of person that can handle and can date beautiful girls, right? I don't know what your girl looks like, but I'm sure she's very pretty. And yes, you have to be that type of guy. And if you're not that type of guy, you have to go out there and get experience. But I would recommend every guy do that.
Not I would only, as well.
You can only say, like, bro, like, you and I are young, right? I'm 25 and 24. Bro, we can sit here and, like, even if we weren't in, you know, where we're at, it's like, we can take another 5 years to figure out what we want. We have all Absolutely. The time to do that. So
I also think, just to add on, if you've not had your heart absolutely, like, crushed, like pulverized to dust, you probably need to keep dating, just because I think that that's most guys I speak to around between 19 and 22, they get their first, like, serious girlfriend, absolutely destroys them because they've never had that before. And I don't know, they're probably not red pilled, or, you know, they're not going into it with the right context or the right understanding. And even if you have read all this theory on fucking Reddit or whatever books you're fucking reading on this shit, it's still not going to, like, you won't understand it until you're actually in the arena. It's the same with sales, right? So, yeah. So I would definitely say, like, you should date around it, and you should get that experience both for yourself and for your development. But I would say, like, don't always be looking over at what someone else is doing, thinking that what they have is what you should want to have. Don't get a fucking Lambo if you don't want a Lambo. That's fine. If you know, your version of success, whether it's with women or with business or whatever, is, you know, a small little parcel of land where you fucking have an organic garden, then go do that. Like that, like for everyone, it's not going to be, you know, the penthouse in Tribeca or whatever the fuck it is, or Miami or whatever it is that you want. You have to start to become really comfortable with your identity, which kind of ties back to acting. Like, I would say the best thing about acting is when I came out here, I was 19. Much of my identity was this mask that I had put on based off of where I grew up. So, you know, I was carrying the expectations of my neighborhood, of the community, of the people I grew up with. And then, you know, you come out, you're acting, your acting coach is like, oh yeah, you know, you're a good looking dude, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You get on stage and you start. And, like, I think he actually laughed at me and pulled me off. He's like, in front of an audience, by the way, there's like 20 other kids all watching me do this. And he laughs at me and pulls me off. And he kind of, you know, in a very nice way, in a mentoring way, was like, listen, this whole, you know, good looking young guy, James Dean bullshit, it's not going to fly. It's not fucking interesting. And what you learn after doing hundreds of auditions and, you know, hundreds of scenes for audiences is you learn to strip back all that bullshit until you have some authenticity about you. Yeah. And then when you go out to the world, you're actually a lot more magnetic. People are interested. They might not always, you know, be on the same wavelength as you, right? If you're, you know, more fucking yuppie and you're talking to some hippie, you guys might not have the same worldview, but you guys will be able to connect in a much more magnetic way. And that applies to everything. It applies to business. It applies to women. It applies to fucking talking to a crowd, talking to an audience.
It's interesting you mentioned magnetism. And I think you can teach magnetism. I wonder your thoughts. I think you can teach magnetism through teaching how to be charismatic. Charisma is something that's developed with your ability to be an orator, your ability to tell stories, to be a magnetic individual. And it's very hard because magnetism, I think, is a combination of those things. I would say, and most people would probably agree because I've built the Twitter following that I have in literally less than a year. I'm coming up on 13,000 now at this time of recording. I think I'm probably a magnetic individual. I think I would agree that you are as well, right? And that's very hard to teach. I couldn't sit someone down in one conversation and teach them how to be charismatic, funny, or magnetic at all. It comes through because of the confidence that you and I both have in ourselves. Now, here's my point with that. When you're able to trust yourself on such a deep level that you know whatever happens in your life, unless you get shot on the street or you randomly get addicted to crack or something like that, you know that you're going to be okay. Because the worst that could possibly happen to me, I don't know about you, the worst possibly happen to me is I go work for one of my friends for a little bit, make more money, and then go start my own business again. Or I go down to the Mercedes dealership and I go make 150, 200 grand a year selling Benzes. I'm good. So I don't need anything from anybody. And I think that's what creates a magnetic person. I saw Tate tweet this literally earlier yesterday night. And it was like, at the highest level as a man, there is no value exchange. You provide and expect nothing. And I think that's what creates magnetism.
Interesting. I would say every magnetic person I've ever come across, whether that's like, you know, the good looking jock in junior high or high school, or you know, a public figure, anything like that, they're almost always natural. And I think a lot of that has to do probably with your childhood and how you're raised. It's funny. I was actually listening to, do you know Dan Pena, like QLA, that kind of,
of course.
Right. So he was talking about that. He's always super big on self-esteem, and it's made in the first 7 years.
Yep.
I think if you're like, you know, the awkward, lanky dude right now, who's on like a self-improvement bender, and wants to become magnetic, you can get there. It'll be harder. You're rewriting a lot of your past. I think that, I'm trying to think if I have a definitive position. It's just so rare for guys to go out and try to become magnetic, right? Whereas like by and large, the majority of people that you see are just naturally like that. If you talk to anyone from my past, grandparents, aunts and uncles, cousins and whatnot, I'm the same fucking dude since I was 3 years old. My flaws and my strengths, like the bravado, the confidence, the fucking stubbornness, the kind of grumpiness that I have towards the general public. It's always been there since the beginning. So I don't think that most people change, but I do think you can change. But you have to really fucking want it. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to look at, you know, one of those guys on YouTube, Charisma on Command, or any of those guys, and see if people actually do it. I think that probably to some extent, if you want to become a better better politician or better salesperson or whatever the fuck it is, I think there's a lot of stuff you can do. I think like even Thatcher took lessons on that. But I think same with like acting, you have to find a different conduit in. You can do the whole fake it till you make it thing. But yeah. I think a lot of magnetism just comes from really peeling back and becoming very, very comfortable with who you are and then owning that and going through the world. Even, you know, I'll see some fucking soccer mom who like, I would probably not enjoy talking to, whatever. How she carries herself though, she's not like this incredibly good looking woman or whatever. This is just some, you know, an avatar I've created, but how she kind of walks through the world and kind of probably her own battles and whatnot and how she presents, she has her own magnetism because she's fucking comfortable with what she's got. She knows what it is. She's had the highs and lows and she's become comfortable and owns herself as opposed to like a lot of other people who have this kind of meekness or apologize for their existence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people apologize for existing.
What's interesting is, so I put on, and this is a very interesting case. So I'm still pretty skinny. I'm about 6'4", I'm about 190 pounds. I'm 8% body fat, shredded. Yeah. And I was in high school, I was 6'1", 120, 130 pounds. I was the captain of the lacrosse team senior year. I played chess and I grew up training martial arts with my father since I could literally walk, who was 101st Airborne Special Forces in the military, second degree brown belt in Shorin Ryu karate, and I trained Shorin Ryu in Muay Thai. So Japanese jiu-jitsu, karate, striking, did taekwondo, everything that I could possibly do under the sun. I trained stick fighting with my father. So I got in a lot of fights growing up. And I was always a good speaker. I was always a creative, but I had long hair when I was 12 and I was playing metal music with my friends. And I grew up in Philly where, you know, that was not a good recipe for making friends, but I was rank one in my school for 9 years straight. They offered to skip me two grades. I was the highest IQ individual in the school. I was creative. I was the lead in all of the plays that I did. I was doing acting. I was playing music. I was still training martial arts. I did everything. So I got in a lot of fights, won all of them, of course. But what happened was there's a principle of consistency. When other people tell you that you're not good at something, or they laugh at you for the things that you're doing, even though like being creative is one of the most beautiful things in the world, if you're around other people who tell you you're shit, right? Not that I ever really felt it. Obviously, like it was, you know, like it felt like what I was doing was wrong when I was 11 years old, right? But you know, you punch somebody in the face and you're not wrong anymore. But if you're around people that are making you feel bad for the things that you do, and this is why I never judge people on the things they like. Look, somebody likes anime, by all means, bro. If somebody likes country music, I'm not the biggest fan of country music, but go ahead. You know, if somebody likes something, I'm not going to judge them for what they like, because I've been in the position to be judged for what I like. And that was an interesting experience growing up. What's interesting about it is the self-esteem was built from my father. Mm-hmm. And I was always a magnetic individual. Like I was always doing things that moved the needle. My dad, literally, it's very, very, very similar to, I guess, how Tate was raised, where it was like, you know, you're my last name. And of course, right? Like, of course you're the best. Of course. He always used to say, my dad's still alive, obviously, but like, he always used to say the cream always rises to the top, like rank one in the school for 9 years, this accolade, like, and it was normal. But obviously being shit on as a kid for the thing and having to get in fights over the things because you're defending your ideas and you're defending the things you like doing was an interesting experience. And I had to refine, especially later on in my teenage years, I had to refine that magnetism, right? You know, I was, you know, decently popular in high school, wasn't the most popular, but when I got to college, I was popular as fuck. I threw the best parties. I was popular, seeing a bunch of girls. I was making money. And it took me a couple of years throughout high school, even though I was like captain of the lacrosse team and everything, to refine that magnetism and create it to the level and the ability that I have now. And I had always used my speaking ability to get me into rooms and to get me things and my intellect and my ability to speak and convince others and persuade and influence to become who I am now. Job opportunities. Like, dude, I graduated college with a 2.7 GPA. I should not have got, listen, I got a job at a Fortune 100 company and became one of the top people on the fucking sales team. Like there was no way I shouldn't have even gotten it. And I did it, not even done my degree yet. There's no fucking way I should have even been able to get in this room, but I did. So that I've always kind of leaned on my IQ and I've leaned on my ability to speak with people and persuade and those things, not as a crutch, but as a lever. And I'm able to use that to get myself into positions and change the way I live my life. And now it's impacting others on a larger scale. But I think it can be, I don't think it can necessarily be learned to the point of which we have it, because it's built very early on in life. But I think you can get to a certain degree to be okay at it or adept at it in the aspect where you can make friends, you can talk to girls, you can have a great time. And as you get more experience doing that, that becomes who you are. And that changes fundamentally who you are.
And yeah, I would agree with that.
I have this idea where, and I've said it a couple times now, but it's a secret idea, where when you can impact the way that somebody thinks and the way they view the world and the way their perspective is, you create a culture, right? And you, when you change somebody's mental framework and their perspective, and if you change their perspective, it changes their reality, which then allows them to transcend who they are for who they're become, who they want to become. And I think for sure that can be learned, because there are people that I know that have done it over and over again. Money changes that. Getting better girls changes that. Changing your circumstances.
I think it's fucking win, dude. Like the biggest thing, if you're in like a slump, if your girl, you know, fucking cheats on you, leaves you, or is just being a bitch, or you fucking shit the bed at work, or you get fired, easiest thing in the world is getting a win. Like obviously the easiest one out of all those, hit a new fucking PR and then go out, you know, fucking, go to the club, do something like that. I mean, even within sales, like, just you need more shots on net. Yeah. Fundamentally, most people do like they're at like 25% of the capacity of what they can be doing at any given time, and they get frustrated with the lack of results.
Yeah.
Not knowing that like they have ways of doing that fucking at scale and bringing the results forward. That's what's going to embolden you to go out and like one victory always leads to another very very short succession. Moment.
Absolutely. It's the more momentum you create, right? Like I remember
you
like,
create your own luck.
If I'd have I have this saying and I still say it to this day, right? And I tell people like, you know, I there's a guy from Twitter who I help him out on like coaching calls sometimes. And what I told him was, I said, look, man, I said, not every day you're going to set the world on fire. Some days are going to be bad. You're not going to close any deals. You're going to get shit on the phone. You're not going to set the world on fire every single day. Like, you know, back in when I was doing loans, like you're not going to sell 7 deals a day, every single day, but you can't, like, if you need 10, 15 deals a week, what you can do is you can set up to maybe one day you close one, maybe drop a donut the second one. Then you close 5, then you close 4, but you have to continually fill your pipeline with momentum. And the way you do that is by casting a wide net and doing multiple things that you can have easy wins. You have quick, easy wins. And there are certain things in life that you and I both do. I don't know what yours are, but I'll tell you what mine are, where you can literally go in and get a win, which is go in and get a workout and work on something that you love, right? Whether it's, you know, doing something creatively. And so it's like getting out of your head. And I remember like, even in sales, I'd be like, if I was having a bad day, I would just call like a dog shit deal and just pitch them and just be like, look, like, here it is. And they'd fucking take it. And then, you know, you do one and then you call, like, you literally, like, we would have like, you know, bullshit, like $5K deals, like $5,000 deals.
Yeah.
And like, we'd call $5K deals. And like, I remember like whenever I would start a new month, what I did was I always waited a day or two to hit the big whales, right? Or on a Monday, I wouldn't call, like, and this was my strategy, I wouldn't call the big ass deals on a Monday, because number one, I know what the revenue size of the company is. I know Mondays are a shit show. Number two, yeah. I'm gonna call 5K deals. I'm gonna get 4 of them under my belt. I'm gonna open up a bunch of applications and then I'm gonna put them through. And what it's gonna do is like, it's literally warming up. Like in sales, like you have to be sharp. And then it got to the point, obviously I got good enough to where I just would call anybody and the deal would go through. But when you're starting out and when you need that momentum again, you have to start hitting as much as possible. How many quick wins can I get? What's a quick win, right? Like, can I go make $50? Like if you're broke, it's like making your first $50 or $100 on the internet is like, it's life changing. So I think when you create an ecosystem and you have these things and you have to try a bunch of different things to be able to start to generate those quick wins, like literally get in the gym, get a workout in, get some rest, drink some water, like those wins, like feel better, listen to something that you like. Maybe it's this podcast. I don't really like the motivational stuff. I think people need to be able to control their emotions, but anything that you can do. I mean, what do you think there's in terms of your thoughts, what other things do you think people can do in order to generate like quick successes?
Successes, I would say like killer workout, even honestly, like if you wanted to get a mentor, right? Like one of the things that I always do is I kind of collect people. Like I used to go to Equinox. I'll probably go back in like a month or so. But like I would talk to everyone there, right? Talk to people in the sauna, talk to people. Like I wouldn't fucking bother them during their workouts, but I network there a ton, yeah. Right? So I know a ton of fucking people. And so, you know, if I needed something like a quick win, I'd hit up an old mentor. Hey, let's grab dinner. Let's grab a drink. Let me do a drive along with you. Like show me all your properties and stuff. Teach me some of the game, whatever. Really you just need action, right? Like go to a hotel lobby bar, but even, like honestly for me, networking is like probably it's like shooting free throws. I just sink them all day. Like I talk to a lot of people. That's not to say everyone vibes with me or whatever, but like, you know, like what, like some of the most fun that I've had is, my girl and I, we ended up, getting like a little scratchy ticket, which I don't really gamble or anything like that, but we ended up getting one of those $150. Ended up going to the Fairmont Pac Rim, which is like probably the best hotel in the city. Go to the lobby bar, grab drinks. As we're sitting there, there's a guy next to me, probably early 60s, right? Old guy in a suit, whatever, chatting. Give him a heads up, whatever. Start talking to him. Turns out he's in town for business for commercial real estate. Oh, cool. Who are you meeting with? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. Go pass him over to my mentor. They end up linking up, you know, exploring business opportunities. You just need action. You need momentum. So workouts, girls, sales, if you have sales pipeline. If you're applying for fucking jobs right now, just print off like 10 of them and go into the spots you want to do. Honestly, cold calling is like probably one of the fastest things you can do. I wish that more people did sales jobs just to understand the impact of a funnel, just to understand the framework of it and carry it. Like right now, my sister, but all three of my sisters graduated from Oxford. They're fucking very, very smart. But one of them right now, she's graduating with her master's from Oxford and, you know, she's struggling to get a job. And I talked to her, well, what have you done?
Yeah.
Like she's applied to like one or two spots. Right. And like no experience. So, but you know, she probably didn't present herself that well. She's not like a naturally charismatic person, despite, you know, having a lot of other, great attributes. But I just want to like convince or convey to them, okay, treat it like a sales funnel, cast a wide net, send out 200 applications, you know, cold call these people, cold email them, write, you know, first lines, whatever, to pitch yourself on a job offer. That's what I did. Like, but before I knew sales or any of that shit, like when I was, I just didn't want to fucking bartend. I went to every real estate shop in town. I just made a fucking list. I didn't know how to scrape shit. I didn't know that there was like databases you could pull this from. I just went on Google, pulled together a list of the 100 people, cold emailed all of them. Then I cold called them one by one, just told them my story. Hey, this, whatever. Yeah. And you'll start to find success with that. People, especially when you have an energy and a passion and you're fucking putting out shots, that's very like people get really energized by that because most of the people just go through the fucking motions on life. Exactly. They just pick up the phone. Hey, do you need this? Okay, sorry to bother you. Blah blah. You know, it's like you get fucking called on your cell phone plans all the time, right? Yeah, and like the guy's as upset to be on the phone with you as you are. Like you pick up the phone, and I'm always nice to them because I fucking you know do this now. Yeah. But they're always like, hey, so sorry to bother you. He's just putting in fucking reps, right? He's just there. He's just clocking hours, seconds, phone calls by.
Yeah,
he's but doesn't want to fucking do it. Whereas when you fucking want to do it, you go and fucking do it. And people are like, oh shit, this is kind of interesting. Tell me more about your story. What is this? What's going on? What are you doing?
Do you ever give him sales advice?
No, I just say, listen, man, I'm not your prospect. I know it's a tough job. I'm sure it's right around the next call. And you know what they say? They hang up on me, man. They fucking hang up on me.
You know, something I did, especially when I don't even take calls anymore. If I don't have a number, if I don't have your contact saved, I'm not answering the phone. Something I used to do when I would answer the phone, because I'd be like, all right, who is this? Or like, these people keep calling me. I got to tell them to kick rocks. I would get the rep on the phone and they'd be like, hello, is this able to do? I'm like, whoa, relax. I'm like, listen. And like, I would say exactly, I'd be like, listen. And they would instantly shut up. And I would talk to them and I'd be like, look, I literally do exactly what you're doing, but I'm way better at it than you. And this is when I was like still 22, bro. And I'm like, yeah. I'm way better at it than you. And here's why. I literally tell them, here's why. I'm like, look, number one, slow down. Number two, you have to figure out if I'm even interested in talking to you. Is it a good time for me? No, it's probably not a good time. I was like, and I put the phone, I remember I was in a bar after work one time and it was 8 p.m. and Sirius XM, the same girl from Sirius XM was calling me. And I said, listen, it's 8 p.m. I'm in a bar. You can hear I'm in a bar. It's not a good time. And I do not want to talk to you about Sirius satellite radio. I am not your customer, but I know that someone is. So speak slower and figure out if the person that you're talking to even wants to talk to you in the first place, right? Tell me why I should want to talk to you. And I guarantee you're going to start making more money. Hung up. That was it. And sometimes I do that. Like it reminds me of that scene from Boiler Room where, remember in Boiler Room when you get sold on the newspaper and he tells him how to sell the newspaper. It was like that. And I always remember that scene from that movie because I watched that movie like probably 50 times, like before I had gotten started in sales. And now I do it because I know the impact that being good at this had on me. It pretty much gave me the life that I have now.
Right.
And I know what impact it had. So if I can, and that's why like I do the things I do with Cashflow Syndicate and all the, and Twitter and mentoring the, teaching the kids, right? Because I remember the impact it had on me. Getting good at this will literally change your life. Being able to be charismatic and magnetic and being able to talk to people and having these abilities and these attributes, you will literally be okay for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're capable of selling, you're set for life. Like you're going to be good. I mean, it might not always be your time. Like if you're in a recession and you're selling the wrong thing, it might be a slump, but you'll be good. You'll always be able to put food on the table. I kind of think though that most of these VA jobs, like I got a couple of VAs that we brought into our agency and they're smart people, but it's kind of been a piece of work and it's really hard to find them. Most people don't really want that, right? Like most people just want to show up, clock in 8 hours, get a paycheck, go home, fucking flip on Netflix, eat a bunch of fucking junk, come and go to sleep. That's what most people want to do for the next 80 fucking years. So I don't know. It's a balancing act. I think that there should be information out there for people that want to improve their life. I fundamentally am very bearish on most people.
Yes.
I don't really think that. I don't know. I think that they need to fucking save themselves.
Yeah. And I would love to think that everyone who follows me or everyone that listens to this is somebody that wants more out of life, but obviously Pareto principle, that's not always going to be the case.
Yeah.
Bell curve, you know, bell curve distribution, whatever. But like that being said, like most people just don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, like, what did Ben Franklin say? It was like, most men live quiet lives of desperation or something like that. I think it was
Wasn't that Thoreau? I think Franklin said most people die at 25 and are buried at 75.
Yeah. Thoreau, quiet lives of desperation.
Yeah.
And then they'll look on Instagram or they'll look on Twitter.
Yeah.
And they'll see you with your girl. They'll see me flexing, traveling here on a Tuesday. Like, I was working and I'm up here in the Hollywood Hills right now. And literally like, obviously like Ty Lopez meme, but I'm up here in the Hollywood Hills chilling with you guys can't see it, chilling in my Louis Vuitton glasses on a Monday afternoon, smoking a cigarette, drinking Red Bull. So like, I got to talk to Pontiflex today. And like I made like a grand before I woke up this morning.
Sure.
It's Monday. I don't know how. It's just it, but it's because of everything I set up. But it's a Monday afternoon. I was driving around, dropped the girl I'm seeing off it, where I had to take her.
Yeah,
and you know, pulled up on my boy. He's got his day off. We're sitting here working on our agencies, chilling, making money, talking shit, drink coffee, drink a Red Bull, whatever, smoking cigarettes. It's Monday afternoon, and I get to do this every single day of my life. Because of the 2 fucking years that I grinded my fucking face off, making 50,000 cold calls, talking shit to people on the phone, trying to get them to fucking take a 15% loan.
I tweeted about this. I've tweeted about this before. It's all connected. This is something that people don't always appreciate. Like, man, I've got a fucking like cemetery of dead businesses and shitty offers, you know, behind me from my past. I've basically flirted with business one way or another since I was, I don't know, like 16 years old. Right. And to varying levels of commitment and to varying levels. I do think that the majority of guys on Twitter have bad offers. And so I think that you can be a good entrepreneur on a bad offer and like, it'll be okay. But like you're really not leveraging your talents and skills. You know, it takes as much effort to run a shitty business as it does to run a good business. And I learned that when I was fucking selling marketing to epoxy guys, where these guys would cap out at like 8 to 10K a month and they just couldn't go beyond that. Now, a lot of times they had really fucking shitty business practices, but you know, I think one of my first businesses was like Amazon FBA. And I was trying to arbitrage stuff from Canada into the US through this fucking third party fulfillment thing. And I just like, was trying to like manage, you know, cash flow and like, it didn't go well, but you learned a ton. And then I moved into Instagram growth. And like, before I knew what cold email was or email marketing and stuff like that, you kind of just figure stuff out and you hop on sales calls to sell $39 growth packages. Like just like the most fundamentally broken business principles that you just wouldn't do now, but you learn a ton and all these skills, whether it's, you know, karate or whatever, or, you know, like I was a barista, you know, years ago, like 7, 8, 9, I don't know how many years ago, almost a decade ago, I was a barista for 2 months, something like that. Right. And it's shitty at the time. You earn no money. You're fucking burning your hand all the time, making, you know, lattes for rich white ladies who are mad at you or trying to hit on you. One of the two, sometimes both. But then all of a sudden that becomes a talking point in an elevator when you're talking to this guy who's putting up a site and, you know, he wants to put up a $100 million skyscraper in fucking Vancouver. And he's talking about cafes and now you're talking about lattes and stuff like that. And then he is part of your network and, you know, whatever. So it's all connected. But like a lot of guys, you see the highlight reel, you see like, oh wow, what a great view with him and his girl. And they're sipping, you know, wine and whatever out in Okanagan or they're out somewhere in fucking Mykonos, whatever. I wish that was me. But what you don't see is like the amount of reps and the amount of failure that goes into all of that. And it's cliche. Everyone knows this. I hope fucking everyone knows this, but like, you just need to be putting in more reps and understanding that like, even still the businesses, the skills that I'm developing today aren't for today. They're for like 5 years from now, like learning how to sell. It's great to learn how to sell, but I'm hoping that translates more into creating a pipeline to get deal flow 5 years from now when I'm trying to do roll-ups for 30 million. You know what I mean? But you have to understand that. Like you're collecting skills, right? It's a bit like a video game. You're collecting skills.
Skill stack, bro.
Yeah,
and that's what I teach in my community, right?
I sent guys to you. I didn't really say this, but and I'll never fucking do this again. Not that I don't like these guys, but a lot of guys had like reached out to me because I stupidly put out this fucking tweet like, oh, I bet I could probably just coach guys to 10K and just take a bit off the top, whatever. So a lot of guys reached out to me. I put a lot of them over onto Cashflow Syndicate and a couple other courses and stuff like that. Of course, I mean, I think it's a good product. I think it's good shit.
I said it to Kevil the other day, but what we created is the best community in the world for guys who are literally starting out at zero to get to their first 5 to 10 grand a month.
Yeah.
And we're able to do that because of the skill stack. And it's all about creating the skill stack. And what we did was we created that based on our prior experiences. I did Amazon drop shipping. I did e-commerce. I almost got sued by a giant company. I got a nice letter in legalese one time when I was 21. I had like a grand left in my bank account. I was fucked. I did info products. I did email marketing for my companies the drop shipping companies that I had, all the shit that I was doing. And then I got into sales and then I learned. And when I was doing e-commerce, I learned copywriting. And I've always been a writer. Like I got a book, I wrote a novella. It was 100 pages when I was 17, right? Like half of it got published, half of it didn't. It's somewhere. I don't know where it is, but it's somewhere. And all it was me just stacking on talents, right? Like sitting in the university room computer lab when my laptop was broken and I had to use the rest of my money in my bank account for advertising to keep the business afloat. and studying Jason Capital sales letters and all of these like direct response guys and like learning copywriting and building sales pages and seeing how they did their shit, it translated so that when I said fuck it to the e-commerce company and I went into fitness info products with my boy, it all translated, right? And that was doing more money than the e-commerce thing. And then it's like it all comes around. And then you realize that I realized I could take the knowledge that I had about e-commerce and email marketing from before. I could learn a little bit more. I could be a good copywriter. I'm not the best. I'm not as good as Mason. I don't call myself a copywriter, not at all. But I knew I can write and I knew I can persuade. And I said, okay, well, I can take my sales ability. And because when I was working in sales, I was doing B2B, I can just sell B2B to big companies with money who are selling products that make a shit ton of money. So we do email marketing for high ticket e-commerce, AOV over $1,000. And all I need to do is just integrate everything. And I'm putting my hands together on the screen, but all you need to do is integrate everything with your skill stack. So then my sales, I can still use my sales ability and I can do all that work and then I can just use the marketing knowledge that I have, offload it to my designer, and then turn it around for the client and makes the client a shit ton of money. And I get rich too. We all get paid. So building the skill stack is the most important thing. I'm going to plug my stuff here. That's why you sign up to a cash flow syndicate. That's why you do these things, because you build the skill stack in order to do exactly what I just explained. You try a bunch of stuff, literally are throwing shit at the wall in your early 20s, in your late teens, early 20s, and you see what sticks. And you have to do that. It's the same thing with girls. You have to find out what you don't like, know what you do like. You have to find out what you're good at. Where are your strengths? If you're an analytics guy, then partner up with somebody who's like me, who's a sales guy, or somebody like you, right? Yeah. If you're a copywriter, you partner up with a sales guy. If you're a sales guy, you partner up with a copywriter or a guy who's better at marketing. Mason is way better at copywriting than I am, right? But I'm way better at sales. Great partnership. You find people that complement your strengths, that you can work with, that you fuck with and you like. And once you do that, then you're in business. Then you're making money. Then you have a front end of the business and you have a back end of the business. So partnerships are really cool because and to be honest, man, like doing everything alone or not having people in your corner is just lonely.
Nobody. Dude, business is like being in a foxhole, right? It's like it's basically just trying to fire off shots left and right and get it going forward. It's a lot more fun when you've got a buddy there too. Exactly. Whether that's to like eat some of the cost on shit or just to fucking bitch about whatever the fucking problem is. And then kind of, you know, it's off. How do we move forward? How do we get this thing going? Whatever.
Well, something I want to add, right? And so there's a video that I did inside of the group, but guys, if you're going into business with somebody, now this is a mistake, and I'm sure you've maybe made this mistake before. If you guys are going into business with somebody, okay, and with a friend, especially with a friend, you got to make sure, it's absolutely imperative, you have to make sure that they are responsible for more dollars appearing in the bank account than if you were to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, you fuck yourself. I'll explain. Mason, great example. Shouts out to Mason. He is responsible for more dollars being in the bank account and our company growing, our thing that we have growing, than if either of us were able to go at it alone, because we complement each other. Now, most guys would go into business with a boy and they're going to give their boy 50% of a company. He don't even know how to fucking rub 2 cents together and make a nickel.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't even know what he's doing, right? How many people have you seen? Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And they don't do anything. And one person does more than the other, or it's very hard to be 50-50. Me and Mace try to be as 50-50 as possible, but it's very hard to be 50-50 in a business. And what you want to do is if you're not, you want to be a supportive partner and see what they need. Hey, what do you need? And make sure you're on the ball. Most guys go into business with people that are not on the fucking ball. And here's how you handle it. I own 100% of my agency, because I'm going to hire out everything and I'm going to find really good people who want to work with me and believe in the vision and want my expertise and everything to do the jobs that I don't necessarily want to do. I hate doing email design. fucking hate it. I hire out somebody. I'm going to teach him sales. He's going to work for me. He's going to get paid. He's also going to be personally mentored by me because he's on my team, right? Same thing with my sales guy. I genuinely hate doing prospecting. Shouts out to Adrian. Yeah. But I genuinely hate doing prospecting. So I give him 25% of the net profit after we close a deal.
Yeah.
So every deal he's getting $50 per qualified meeting that we have. And then every deal that we close, he gets a grand, right? Or more or less, right? So when you do it that way, it's you find really good people who want to work with you. And like literally, like you're still going to retain 100% of your company and you're not going to get fucked by some partner because you have complete control of the business. So most people go into business with people that they shouldn't be in business with and people who are just not businessmen.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have Twitter. We find people who are businessmen and businessmen want to do business with other businessmen, right?
Yeah.
That was a mouthful of words. But when you find partners, you have to choose a partner who is going to, number one, complement your skills. And the same thing with girls. You got to find a girl who complements you.
Big time.
Find somebody who complements your skills and where 2 + 2 = 10.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like it's got to really be a compounding impact.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it'll continue compounding over and over and over again. And that's the good thing about what we do. Everything grows exponentially, right? The more you do on the front end, the more it prints on the back end in terms of money, at least.
Yeah.
And especially even with like, you know, dating and everything, like the more you work on yourself when you're younger, the better you're going to be when you're in your 30s.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just compounding impact. And having consistency, right? Like that's always going to be the largest thing. I lost my train of thought.
No problem.
I quit caffeine, on really? Friday. Yeah. It's not been enjoyable. Don't do it. It was a bad move.
I tried in college for 2 days and I had the worst headache of my life. Yeah. I said, fuck this, I'm drinking coffee, bro.
Yeah.
I'm on I'm on my third Red Bull of the day. I think I had like 6 coffees today too.
One of the things I was going to ask you, what do you do to stack yourself up for success in terms of consistency?
Dude, I said this on the podcast I did with Daniel, with Cold Email Wizard, bro.
Yeah.
I don't think about the shit that I do, bro. I'm like, all right, what do I got to do? Bang, done. Okay. Like I wake up, dude, like when I used to sell, like, and I'd be having to be on the phone every day. I used to wake up at 8:45, hop on the meeting and like literally
just hop right in.
Five coffee. Like there ain't no time to think. There ain't no time. Yeah. I don't really. That's why I hated like, you know, commuting to work or something like this. Like wake up. It's like, oh, let me go get a workout. And like, these people are crazy. No, you wake up, work. And then when you're done work, you're done work. Like you just wake up and you just tunnel vision, and people don't have enough tunnel vision most of the time. Cause it's like, they'll really think that they need to take cold showers and meditate and do all this shit. No, it's like you literally do what you need to do and you stop being a pussy and you stop bitching.
It's busy work. It's busy work to make themselves think like they're actually taking shots on the world, but they're not.
It's self-improvement masturbation.
Yeah. Big time.
It's mental masturbation. And most people who are in the space, they do that stuff and think that it's gonna yield a result, right? I take cold showers after I hit the steam room. When I hit the steam room tonight after I work out, and I'm on 4 hours of sleep right now. When I hit the steam room after I work out, I take a cold shower. I'm not posting it on Twitter, I took a cold shower today. No, you sound like a dork. No one cares. Like literally no one cares. Everyone always cares about the end result because that's all that we show, right? They don't see all the other shit. Like they don't see the hours in the gym. They don't see the hours getting shit on the phone. They don't see the thousands, tens of thousands of cold calls that you got shit on. They don't see the emails that never got responded to. They just see, oh, he's got a hot bitch and he's making money and he's traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's flexing on me because he has complete freedom and I don't. But there's a lot of bullshit. And I think a lot of people should sit the fuck down, take a real audit of, and this is how I set myself up for success. I literally do this. I take an audit of what the fuck I'm doing. And I think of life in a couple levers. And I talked to my buddy Farshad about this. Life is, you know, health, wealth, happiness, relationships, health, wealth, finance, whatever, the fucking 3-4 levers. You got to pull all of them at the same time. And when you pull one, sometimes the other ones go back a little bit. If you're drinking and partying too much, your health takes a hit, but your fun is at maximum. Your money might take a hit too. And if you focus on money and you focus on fitness, you're not the other one, your fun goes down, right? So you have to, it's a balancing act of harmonizing all three. So I always take a look and like every couple of days, I'm like, all right, cool. So like, you know, when I first moved out to LA, I was like, you know, I purely moved out here for work. And I was like, I'm going to lock in. I don't have many friends here. I'm going to lock in. I'm going to build a business. I ended up doing well in my agency and I built Cashflow Syndicate and I built the Twitter brand to almost 13,000 followers in the past 6 months or some shit. I did what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And now that I did what I needed to do and everything's going well, very Midas touch. Now I'm like, okay, I need to have some fucking fun. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna start seeing more girls. I'm gonna start dating more girls. And I'm having a shit ton of fun now. Now I'm going to Hyde. We're going to Warwick. We're going to the best clubs.
Good.
I'm doing the things that I was speaking to my best friend, Jack, about this. He said, you know, David, you're doing the things that you always envisioned that you dreamed about when you moved out here or when you talked about moving out here. And it's all happening, right?
Yeah.
So setting yourself up for success is literally like thinking about the way you live your life and reverse engineering the way of what you want. Like you said earlier, you have to understand what you want and reverse engineering exactly what you want to live your life around that. Like, okay, like if you're not having fun, go have some fucking fun, bro. Like, if you're not making enough money, sit the fuck down and work. If you want to be.
Yeah, 100%.
That's it. And it's like, I don't think about that shit. Like, I don't think about, oh, I need to take a cold shower and meditate. I need to. No, it's like, okay, cool. What am I doing? Okay, cool. If I have a call, I'm in it. And I think this is, and it's probably something you do as well. But if you have a sales call, like I can wake up 1 minute before a sales call and be absolutely on point.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely on point because that's my natural state. Most people don't have the ability to do that. They literally need to just get moving. And I literally preach this on every single podcast of speed, speed, speed,
yeah,
speed, speed, speed. Like you, if you get moving, if you get start getting punches thrown at your face, you're going to start having to hit back. And the whole idea is literally if you start throwing punches, you're eventually going to hit something. And it works both ways, right? Like if you're getting shit on in life, you're getting hit. So you got to hit back, right? But you got to hit with speed because speed kills. So that's the way I think about things, dude. Like I have so many different frameworks and mental models of the way that I think about things, but that's how like setting myself up for success is just reverse engineering my lifestyle to move fast, do what I say that I'm going to do and just live and not have to think about it. Not have to think like I took my best friend up to, we went up to Big Bear for 2 days. It was random. I told the girl I'm staying, I'm just like, you know, I told my girl, I'm like, you know, I said, hey, like, we're going to go on an adventure. This is 4 p.m. Airbnb was booked by 5. We were on the way by 7. Right? Like, it was, okay, we're going to do this. Let's go. Okay, cool. We're out. And literally just, like, being able to do those things is, like, that's how you do it.
The momentum always carries forward as well.
Exactly.
That's, like, the biggest thing. So, like, I'm not really into courses or any of that shit. A lot of it, I find, is really shitty. The one that I always tell people is, well, yeah, obviously not yours. the one that I always preach to guys is if they can get Brute's course, do it. And like, I know that he's kind of like left the space by and large, but his course was really good. It's nothing that I don't think he hasn't said probably many times on Twitter, but the mentality and the kind of potency of the messaging is really fucking solid.
I didn't take it, but I know it's called transcendence through intensity, right? Or something like that.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really good. It's like, I wouldn't even really call it a course so much as it's just like a kind of compendium on whatever he's focused his energy on for that topic. But like fundamentally you just need more action. The one thing I really fucking hate about my business, I don't like how stagnant it requires me to be. I don't like having to fucking stay in the same spot for more than an hour. It drives me nuts. I find that if I'm able to move throughout the world a lot more, I don't know if it's like a mental thing, whether, you know, it feels like I'm more productive. I'm probably more productive if I, you know, sit at the computer for 4 hours or something like that, but I fucking hate it. I think that, one of the things that I would like to get to within, I don't know, fucking 60 days, I'd like to just have this guy and then just be at the gym or out, you know, taking meetings, stuff like that. And then, sorry, I guess this is audio. So I held up my phone. I'd like to just have the phone, have Slack and deal with it from there. But if I have to fucking sit at a computer for the rest of summer, I'm going to go nuts.
I hate sitting at the computer.
Yeah, like, I can't do it
anymore. It's necessary to check in on some things, but like, yeah. By and large, my business revolves around my phone. It revolves around me talking to the people, me selling the people, me talking to the people, and then me having ideas and telling the people the ideas. And then obviously Twitter, you have Twitter, and then I have Discord on my phone. I can take my phone everywhere, anywhere I can work. I don't even need a laptop, yeah. Right? I need the laptop for like sales calls and Zoom meetings and things like that. But
yeah,
you know, by and large, I absolutely hate sitting on the computer. Like I haven't even in my place, I haven't even turned on my monitor. Like I haven't plugged the laptop into the monitor in like a week. Like shit's dusty. Yeah. Like I hate sitting in the room. I hate sitting in the.
Do you use a VA? Do you have like a personal assistant?
No.
I want to get one. No. I want one to just be the bridge between the two. Something honestly, that can take anything that I need on a laptop and just put it on my fucking phone.
Yeah, it's you can do that, but I mean, I think sitting in a setting where, you know, it's a professional setting instead of sitting there like walking around on FaceTime with my phone is like,
yeah,
it's probably a little bit better for selling a multiple $1,000 service.
Agreed.
Telling people it's going to be 15 grand over the course of 3 months, but you know, it's an interesting thing. And like, I think we are moving into a world where we are absolutely digitized with everything's on our phone now. And you know, I hate sitting in front of the computer. Like if I'm typing a Twitter thread, I'm going to probably type it on my computer. And just in terms of writing and sending emails, obviously you have to be on your computer because I can have multiple screens up and I can have the Excel spreadsheet with our prospects and copy paste. And it's a lot faster, but by and large, everything that I do is on my phone at this point.
I got a question for you and you don't have to answer it. So you can either censor this out or do whatever. One of the things I've disliked about sales, although I suppose you could always just move to like a higher ticket, is the inability to lever it, right? It's like I always feel it's so finite. You work, you close a deal, you get the commission, but I feel like it's tough to scale that up without just going and getting larger and larger tickets. Have you considered that, or have you turned your mind to that, or how do you plan for that in, let's say, like the next 5 years? I don't really know what your horizon is, so I don't really know what the plans are. But for me, like part of the reason why I moved out of sales and try to shift out of that is I want much higher scale.
Yeah. So it's very much right now for me a lifestyle business. Now I'm not in sales technically. I own a marketing agency where I do the selling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the benefits are I can say whatever I want. I can tell people to fuck off. I can tell people to kick rocks, and I can also close how I want to close. And my big problem with working in sales was you have a compliance department and you're not allowed to tell people to kick rocks. You're not allowed to close in the way that I personally close. I curse all the fucking time when I'm on sales calls because it lets them know that you're a normal person. Like no one wants to do business with some buttoned up dude who's like, not like, no, like, this is what you get. We're great at what we do. And this is level service you're going to get. I'm very passionate about it. Now, you can do that in two ways. So you can, number one, hire a sales team. When you own your offer, you're not making commission. You're technically in commission sales, but when you own your offer, you're making all the money. You can hire a sales team, pay them a percentage, and you can scale like that with human capital, or you can automate it with advertising. There's two ways to do it. And so you can either use humans or you can use money. Now, I can probably scale this company to, now my goal is 150 per month. I don't think I'm going to get much bigger than 100, 150 a month. I'm cool with that from one of the things that I have. Now, that's some of it's recurring and some of it is one-time deals, one-off deals, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when you're able to do that, you can hire sales. Like if I get over 50, 60K a month, I'm going to need to hire more people. But for the most part, I think with my team of three people, it's four, including me, with my team of three, four people, I think I can get easily to 75, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything past that, the scale and the number of clients, you're going to need an account manager for those people. You're going to need, you know, different things. And then every single person that you hire increases the complexity of the business by one order of magnitude. So I like to keep the team small, and it's very much a cash flow business for me. Like, yeah, am I going to buy a Lambo this year? Probably. But I think most people are never going to see, like, that's, you're making, when you're even at like 75 grand a month, like, you're making, fuck, even 30, 35K a month, you're making somebody's yearly salary per month, right?
It's fucking insane.
So it's fucking insane. So when you get to a point where it's like 75 grand in the bank account every single month, and like, you're, after you pay your people, like, I run my business at like 80, 85% margins. Like, I didn't get into this business to be paying 30 employees, dude. Like, I got into this business to be rich. I didn't get in this business to pay 30 employees and have, oh, we're going to have a design team and we're going to get these clients. And we're going to, like, no, it's bullshit. Got in this business to make money. Highly profitable agency service business. Take that cash flow, invest it, create new opportunities, create things like Cashflow Syndicate, where we're able to educate, where it's a platform, and we're able, and I'm able to execute on other new ideas. This isn't like, dude, me running my agency isn't my end all be all moonshot thing. Like, I don't know it's going to be, but for right now, at 24 years old, making the amount of money that I'm making, living the life and being completely
pretty nice.
I don't give a fuck. Listen.
Yeah.
We'll send all the emails we want, bro. Yep. Come on. Yeah, we'll work with you. But I think what would be really cool with this is, you know, you can get into higher tickets. Now, I want to go after Christian Louboutin as a client. That would be $100,000 a month client.
Yeah.
Would be a big fucking deal. Now, you can get into really high ticket stuff and you can make millions of dollars a month in this business, because these big agencies are making millions of dollars a month per client, right? But you have to get to the point where you have the balls to be able to pitch them.
Yeah.
And you don't even need to be like that good. Like, you don't need to be a Agora to close one of these people. You just need to have the balls to pitch them. And if they like you and you're good enough, then they might give you a chance. There's obviously a longer sales cycle, which is what happens with really high ticket shit. There's a super long sales cycle, and you might not get the deal. You might get beat out over some fucking big agency with 30 employees, whatever. But you have to have the balls to go after it. So there, in agency service business, it's very much so a cash flow lifestyle business. Or you could go the route that Chase Diamond did, where Structured has a couple employees, but they have 150, 160 clients. They are big as fuck. They're doing $10 million a year. Him and Nick Shackelford, they do paid me email, and they're doing like $10 million a year. So you could go that route as well. But I think 100, 150, maybe 200 could be probably the end all be all. And I'll probably just do something else. Like, I'm not the type of person that like is going to go sit on a fucking beach because that shit is boring. No, I'm going to go do degenerate shit with my friends, ride around in supercars and live every experience that I could possibly imagine in my life. This is just a vehicle to do this. Sabri Subi, I love his stuff. He says, business is just a vehicle for change. Incredible. And he says, what it is, business is an incredible vehicle for change to impact the world on a massive scale. Now, you can also say, fuck the world, and it could be an incredible vehicle for change for your own damn life, right? Everyone wants to be like these, like, I want to know your thoughts on this, actually, because this is an idea that I would love to expand on. Everyone is so capitulated and captivated by, I want to change the world. I want to honestly, bro, the way the world's going, focus on your fucking self.
Yeah.
Focus, get rich your fucking self. The only way you can make an impact on the fucking world is if you get rich, dude. That's it.
Yeah.
And the only way you can do that is by becoming a sovereign individual, by having things like multiple passports, residencies, investments, different things going on. And like, everyone is, oh, I want to change. Like, I want to make an impact. Like, dude, I'm making fucking impact with Cashflow Syndicate. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're making money, but also there's other people making money. Like, it's not an altruistic thing. Like, when we get into business, But when we get into business, we get into business to make money. Like, people got the game fucked up. You get into business, you start business because you want to feel like a big boss. You want to be doing $1 million deals. You want to be making all this money. You want to have a sick crib. You want to have a beautiful girl. You You want to be able to go to $1,000, $2,000 dinners. You want to be able to go spend 10 grand at the club, not bat an eye, ride around on private jets with Black Amex. Like, that's the reason why we do all these things. Take care of our families, of course, very important. Set it up for our kids in the future. There's so much shit, but the only thing that we can do, the only thing that really matters that gets us there is by doing the best we possibly can for ourselves.
Yeah, 100%. If you're, I know some people that do charity work, like their employees at little fucking piddly charities make, you know, 30, 40K a year, do fuck all. It's somewhat virtuous, I suppose, but they don't have any real drastic impact, right? And this is something that I've always found a little bit ridiculous. You could take a person. I thought about this the other day. You could take a person and give them a fucking clipboard, and they could do the whole thing we did, you know, growing up. You go door to door. Hey, I'm going to, you know, run, give me some money for this charity thing, or do whatever. Like, you know, they go through their neighborhood. They collect $5 here, $10 there, whatever. And at the end of it, maybe they make like $500. Maybe if you're in a really, you know, rich neighborhood, you hit like $1,000 after a day's work, but probably not, to be quite honest, probably a couple $100. You'll see those same people still doing that shit, like on the fucking street corner, where they'll go and they'll spend a day collecting signatures or doing this shit that has no real impact. Whereas if you acquired the right skills, you could say, okay, well, fuck, I really care about, I don't know, fucking dolphins. I'm going to work this entire week. I'm going to go hard as fuck. I'm going to, you know, rack up 10, 20K in commissions, and I'm going to go and I'm going to donate that to whatever fucking charity to go do that work. That is actually like a lot more impact. If you, you know, my buddy down the street, Mundy Princeps, he used to kind of want to save the world. Now we kind of fucking hate the world, especially after the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
But if you do want to change the world, then you need to have resources to do so. Like if you look at any of the impact, the guy that has the impact in terms of like plastic straws isn't the fucking dude posting shit on his Instagram or petitioning businesses to get rid of plastic straws. It's the fucking guy that finances the machine to go, you know, comb the ocean and create those little fucking machines at riverways that collects the garbage and does shit like that. But it's, you know, tens and tens of millions of dollars. That's what actually has an impact. If you want to do that, great, go do it. I, you know, whatever.
Dude, you know, I'm probably very morbid when I say this, and it sounds very morbid probably to the average person. It's not going to sound morbid to you. I truthfully cannot give a fuck, dude.
Yeah.
And like the reality of the situation is I'm going to get fucking rich. I'm already doing all right, but I'm going to get fucking rich. And guess what? Me not throwing my pieces of trash in the Hollywood trash can is not going to fucking kill the dolphins, bro. Like, one person is not, like, my shit that I, like, me throwing my shit in the recycling is not going to kill the fucking dolphins, bro. It is, like, me driving a Tesla, which I will never drive a Tesla. Me driving a Tesla is not going to change the fucking environment, bro. It's not going to remove carbon monoxide and all that shit from the atmosphere. It's not. Absolutely not. Me flying on a private jet is not going to destroy the atmosphere. Me going on a yacht is not going to destroy the atmosphere.
The way that people view it is always so fucking ridiculous. I remember seeing a tweeter or some bullshit, I don't know, they put in like a newspaper where they were talking about the impact of carbon dioxide that you have when you have a kid, right? They're like talking about, oh, if you want to reduce your carbon footprint, you got to do these things, right? And the number one thing was, instead of having three kids, have two, or instead of having two kids, have one, right? Because the impact of this kid is X. You can run the fucking numbers on that, and you could effectively spend $2K at the kid's birth, or you could, you know, spread it out over his lifetime and plant X number of trees. And you would cancel it out, but no one fucking wants to talk about that. Actually, I just found out today that like mangroves have, you know, four times the cleaning power of trees in terms of like carbon dioxide capture. So you could go and fucking do it for like $300 or some shit like that. But honestly, and I don't want to get into some weird conspiracy theory shit where I'm talking about, you know, like globalists and trying to reduce population. But honestly, most of this shit is just fucking dork city, man. It's all fucking ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And just the way that it's pitched to the general public is so sad.
And they eat it up, man.
It's smart.
They eat it up.
It's smart. The way yeah. they influence the psychology is very smart.
Yeah.
You think Mohammed in Afghanistan gives a fuck about the trees or the whales, bro? They don't even have an ocean there, bro. Their whole country is a beach.
Yeah.
Like, dude, they don't give a fuck. They're gonna have 15 kids, man. They're yeah. gonna have 15 kids. Those dudes,
they don't give a shit,
those dudes
man.
In Bhutan or those guys in Delhi with 35 kids in the Brahma caste in India, they don't give a single fuck, bro. And you got all these Americans and everyone in the West who was like, all the liberals are like, let's save the dolphins. Like, listen, what's this fucking dolphin's name, dude? That one, you know what I'm talking about? The one guy that the fucking show about the dolphin Flipper. Yeah. Flipper's gonna die anyway, man. We're all gonna die. Yeah. Only a matter of time. That big fucking shark from Shark Tale is gonna eat Flipper. Like, he's done.
Yeah, man.
He's
like,
done.
Like more or less, right?
It's only a matter of time. The sun is going to explode and encapsulate.
It'll even out, right? It'll like self-police. You know what I mean? I think that in the event that we steer the Earth down that path, there'll be some course correction that like Mother Earth will take care of some shit if she needs to. I think. You know, whether that means like oceans rise and it sounds morbid that people die or you know, it gets too hot. But I don't know, man. Just get rich. You'll make your life better. You'll you'll take care of your shit. Everyone keeps crying about like taxes or this or that or whatever. Dude, just take care of yourself first. You'll be good to go. Obviously, it doesn't work for everyone, but also not everyone wants to fucking put in the work. To be quite honest, most people don't want to fucking put in the work.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Like, you know, I think some there is some self-policing going on amongst humans nowadays, but
yeah,
we're not gonna talk about that.
Yeah, about that. Like I said, it self-corrects.
It's self-correcting. The I'm not even gonna use that analogy. Never mind. But
yeah, all good.
End of the day, man. Like the world is. And I just spoke with Arlen Moore about this. The world is already in a dark place, and we're gonna see over the next decade things are going to be fucked. And I heard Tate say this on the podcast. It was like the have debts and the have jets, the have nots and the have yachts. Like it's literally gonna be. There's so much, and especially with inflation and food and everything that's going on. And this is why you need to join. This is literally why you need to join my community and learn how to start making money for yourself. Because you can't live on 50 grand a year. You can't live. It's 50 grand, you're getting taxed at 30%. You're making 35. Then your rent's $2,000 a month. Then your food is another grand. Then you're going to want to go out and get a drink. And you're left with literally nothing. You're left negative or with nothing by the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not sustainable, which is why you need to. And also, we didn't even include inflation yet.
No.
You're already fucked. So you have to learn how to make. You have to learn how to generate income for yourself. You have to learn sales. You have to learn marketing. You have to learn influence and psychology. And you have to learn the things that we know. Because if you don't, you're just going to get fucked by guys like you and me, who are going to be running, who are literally, as we film this, running laps around the majority of the common man, who is drinking IPAs and hugging their hometown hog and sitting there making, you know, doing whatever.
Whoofing brunch, isn't that what St. Peachy says?
Like, listen, dude, I was driving by Hyde yesterday, man, and like literally, I was. On the way to the crib to go work because I had a meeting for dinner. And literally, like, I go by the club and, like, there's just fat chicks outside the club day drinking at 5 p.m. on a Sunday. You're losers. Yeah. You're losers, and you can have fun staying poor. I think that's a great place to end it.
I think so.
I think that's a great place to end it. Bontiflex, brother, it was great having you on. I
appreciate it, man.
Link your Twitter in the description because you want to remain anonymous still. That being said, that was episode 7 of the Syndicate. I think that was great. We're about an hour and a half in. So
thank you, man.
Good job, man.
Good thank time. You for coming on. Absolutely. I'll see you in LA.
Absolutely.
Maybe this summer, if not in the fall.
We'll have some fun, man.
Awesome. Take care, everybody. Thanks again.
Give me 1 second and we can.